We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back here on Cody and Gold. Cody and Gold presented by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com awaiting Eric Bieniemy, Dave Tobe, Steve Spagnuolo expected to address the media here shortly, and also
Chris Jones,
Tyron Matthew, Chris Jones, Kendall Fuller. So we'll have all that for you live here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks again to Ross Tucker joining us. How about the end? He was giving that story, his hometown. So hometown, Chad Henne as well, who, as Serta has pointed out,
small world,
is in he was active in his third straight AFC Championship game last week. Chad Henne, and then mentioning about Brett Veach and the ties there. So he's got some Chiefs connections.
Henne's got a pretty good deal going. He's made a lot of money in his career and just keeps getting to hover around really good teams. Honestly, he was a perfectly fine backup for all those years. Enough that, like, between him and Matt Moore, that's probably, like, the route they'll go all the years behind Mahomes for a while. Or they'll try to find, like, one Jim Sorge type that just, like, knows the full system and just kicks it.
That too, but if they win a Super Bowl, if you're Henne, if you're Matt Moore, do you both just retire?
I mean, Moore's going to retire.
Moore's done either way, but they could have two. They could have both of them gone, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they could both retire.
Not that it's a huge deal, but although.
I think we'll be fine.
I think it'll be okay.
I mean, yes, it is a topic of conversation who is going to be Patrick Mahomes' backup because he's missed time, right? His 2 years as a starter, he needed to miss a couple of games. So you would hypothetically need someone to start in that situation. It's Kyle Schirmer.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be any. I've seen worse backups than Schirmer, I got to imagine, at some point.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, someone was asking, what's the Chiefs song that has been played on the station today? Well, it's from Mac Lethal. We'll get that in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll play some of that.
Yes.
Maybe in the 1 o'clock hour today, as people have been asking about that. We're well aware of the song, and it is pretty damn good.
Solid work by Mac Lethal. Not going to lie. His new Chiefs anthem. Yeah, we'll give him a chance. I think they played it quite a bit in the morning show. We didn't want to wear it out.
Yeah, my understanding, based on Twitter and the text line, people loved it, though. But, yeah, I think it got a lot of play earlier on. People also asking if we've seen the Mike Florio comments. Yeah, we already talked about that a little bit. We'll get back into that. Also, later on in the show, Mike Florio essentially saying that, make sure you're hitting Mahomes late, advocating to hurt the guy, essentially.
He tried in the cut to explain that he didn't mean it necessarily. Like, I'm not saying they should hurt him, but he was clearly in the clip suggesting that they risk a 15-yard penalty in order to take shots after he was already sliding, take shots as he was going out of bounds. He was advocating for violence against Mahomes because it's the championship game and the 49ers should take the chance to knock him out of the game. Is worth the 15-yard penalty, especially depending on the game situation. It was worth the avenue to try to hurt him. Now, he has since taken to Twitter to try to defend his actions, but only barely. Because one of his responses is like, it's a violent sport, and if we think people don't think that way, then you're crazy. And I'm going to guess, if I went back through Pro Football Talk's evaluation of what took place at that time, call it a hunch. I'll find some article that gives, you know, the Saints a hard time during Bounty Gate for what they were taking place, because that's essentially, it's not money, but that's essentially what he was advocating. Hurt him to try to knock him out of the game because it's worth it.
The only thing that it is missing is the money. Other than that, it's very identical to what happened in 2012 with the Saints and everything that went down that route, which is why it makes the comments even more ridiculous. This is 7+ years, if not 8 years now, post Bounty Gate. And you've got someone, I understand it's a media member, it's not a coach. It's not as if a 49ers personnel member would say this for them, and they're not dumb enough to say something like this. And I'm not saying, and it's not even like you're concerned that it's going to happen, but it's just when you have someone advocating to hurt anybody's quarterback, let alone your star quarterback and your future of your franchise and your franchise and everything like that, you don't want to hear that. And for him to then criticize Chiefs fans for taking it that way, that's my favorite. When people
when
people make comments and they try to defend themselves, then they try to act like you're totally not understanding what I was trying to say. No, there's a reason why he had to about four different times say, I'm not actually saying this, but I. And,
but this is what they should do.
If he wasn't worried about it, he wouldn't have said it four or five times.
He also
didn't think it was borderline.
Half advocated for it. And notice he's not saying that about both sides of the coin either. Not that Jimmy Garoppolo is a threat with the legs, because he is not at all. Nowhere close to what the threat even Mahomes is with his legs, right? It doesn't even come close to comparing. As a matter of fact, he has 62 rush yards and 46 attempts this season. So it's not to say Jimmy Garoppolo is stepping out to do that. But it'd be the same thing as if he's, hey, if he's standing in the pocket, go low. Go for the knees. You're like, you know this is illegal. He said, risk getting called for a penalty for an illegal hit because it would be worth it in the long run if he's worth getting knocked out of the game. Yes, we have addressed it because it's a ridiculous thing to say about another person.
I just don't understand it either. And if you're trying to say, you're pretty much advocating also just on the non-injury route if you're the 49ers. Like, just let's look at it from the 49ers perspective. Are you trying to get 49ers to let up? So Mahomes lets up on his skill set. Are the 49ers trying to be aggressive so Mahomes lets up on it? I'm not so sure about that, if that makes a whole lot of sense. We'll talk about this more a little bit later, but let's go out to Arrowhead right now as Dave Tobe addressing the media.
It's different, similar to last week, but just a little bit more, you know, and it's kind of exciting. It's very exciting.
Do they have, like, any type of angst or, you know?
No, I don't see that at all. I see focus. I see, you know, guys are catching the ball and, you know, and just on point with their, you know, assignments and, just asking the right questions, just, you know, very sharp. Looks good.
Does the extra week, you know, for you, is it benefit special teams maybe more than anyone? To have
I don't know if it benefits me any more than anybody else, but it definitely benefits us because you can work on little things. You have extra days to work on special returns or special situations. A lot of times you talk about them in meeting, but you don't get to practice it. Now we get to practice it because we have a little bit more time. So it's always good to have 2 weeks.
When you and Andy came in, Dustin Jokic was a free agent and looked like he was. What did you say to him?
When we first got here?
Yeah, back when.
I just talked about how I never had a punter like him. You know, how, you know, he was such a bomber. You know, he could really flip the field. And you know, I had a lot of good punters. I had Brad Maynard at Chicago and Adam Podlish. We had some good ones, but he was different. He was a, you know, he could really flip the field, and I thought, you know, we could really be good with him. And we actually turned him into more of a directional guy because he was a bomber when we first got here, and then we taught him how to be more directional, and which really, I think, helped his career, you know, in the long run.
Anything else you maybe said to him that kind of flipped him?
I don't know. That was 7 years ago. I can't remember much, but I do remember that, you know, I really felt good about him, you know, as a punter coming
in.
You
said your players are asking the right questions. What kind of questions are they asking?
Well, just, you know, about the details of the game plan, you know, they're really focused and they're looking at the little detail. What happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? You know, and that's good. When the guys are doing that, you know, you got them.
So you talked to Dave about the way the players have approached it, but what about for you? I mean, this is it's the opportunity of your life, too.
It's the same thing. I mean, we watch a lot more tape, you know. I mean, you watch a lot of tape all the time, but now you watch a little bit more and a lot more. So it's... You know, the emphasis, I mean, the winner of this game is going to be the world champions. You know, I mean, it's so important, you know, that every stone is turned over, you know, so that's the way we're looking at it.
Harrison's had to make a couple big kicks in his career. Seems like a low-key guy. Is he built to be that guy on this kind of stage?
I don't doubt that at all. I don't, you know, he's made a lot of big kicks for us, you know, in playoffs and, none bigger than last year. He had to make that kick to keep the game going for us, and that was just as big as a game winner, you know, to me. So he's been there, done that. Obviously, he hasn't been a Super Bowl, but I mean, it's the same type of deal, and we have total confidence in him as a team.
Dave, what do you remember about the end of feeling after the Super Bowl in Philadelphia?
Well, I wasn't at Philadelphia when I was there the 3 years we went to the conference championship, and then I went to Chicago. Then they went to the Super Bowl. So they said when I left, that was the key for me getting out of there. But then I did go to the Super Bowl at 13 years ago at Chicago, and we lost. I mean, but we opened the game with a kick return for a touchdown, Devin Hester. But then it seemed like it was all downhill from there. So, but it's a bad feeling. It's you know, only one team is going to be happy at the end of the year. Unfortunately, hopefully it's us this year. But it's a bad feeling when you lose that game.
Is And I remember you talking, when we were talking about this one time, the point was really that getting that close, it actually hurts more to be there and lose than even to...
It does hurt. It hurts a lot. And, you know, you try to remind your guys how important it is and talk about what it is to win, you know, and that, and keep that focus. I mean, that's what we're trying to do this week.
Dave, you know Andy well. Do you feel like whenever it is his career is over and he's not won a Super Bowl, that he'll look back at his career as being incomplete? Do you think he would look at it that
way? I can't speak for Andy on that. I just know that he deserves one. You know, he's done enough, you know, and I think everybody in the whole country feels that way about Andy, that, you know, they want to see him win the Super Bowl, and we're no different.
You mentioned the opening touchdown for the Super Bowl. What do you remember about your conversations with him leading up to the game?
With Hester?
Yeah. Was that something you tapped into?
The whole week, everybody, media included, was, you know, we're talking about, are they going to kick to him? Are they not going to kick to him? And what I told the guys on Saturday night was, I mean, this is Super Bowl. All the cameras are going off. They're not going to kick a squib kick. They're not going to kick it, you know, out of bounds or anything like that. So they're probably going to kick it to you, you know. So, and that's what we talked about. And they kicked it right to him, you know. And then Devin did what he does, which is, and he's a special guy. You know, nobody's been like him ever.
Is that something you bring up with Mahomes getting into this game?
We talk about stuff. Me and him just, you know, on the side, and, you know, how cool that would be, you know. You want in the picture, stuff like that, you know.
Does having the kind of firepower you have offensively, is that, how does that change your mindset? Is it like, hey, we don't have to be as aggressive, or does it make it easier to be aggressive because, you know, maybe
well,
you erase mistakes?
I wish I could have took what we did last week back. You know, we were up three scores, and I got greedy and I put the return team out there because I wanted to get another return. I should have been safer, you know, when they ran the fake and put eight guys in the box. That was on me, you know. So that's a prime example of me trying to do too much with the guys we got. So I learned a lesson on that, you know. If we're up three scores, you know, you play it safe. If the team's going to punt when you're up three scores, something's fishy.
But it worked, right? So,
I mean, well, I mean, it worked for them, but, it, you know, for us, it didn't work, you know.
Okay.
All right? Thanks.
That was Dave Tobe out at Arrowhead. That last question was interesting, referring to the fake punt that worked for the Tennessee Titans. Said that he took some blame for that. They were trying something maybe a little too much there at the end, but obviously did not ultimately have an impact on the game. And Dave Tobe said having some extra time for special teams, not any different than any other unit, but definitely said, yeah, it's beneficial.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. Yes, you're right. I mean, the fake punts get you in some trouble sometimes. And obviously, he said, I got greedy. Thought I learned a lesson. I got greedy. Although I'm fine with greedy sometimes, truthfully. When you're up 17, yeah, get greedy. Finish teams occasionally. That sounds like conservative versus not. And I get it. Up 17, you probably should just guard against the fake. But to try to not get a good return and instead trust Patrick Mahomes, that's the part where maybe you don't have to get greedy.
Let's go back out to Arrowhead, the Chiefs OC, Eric Bieniemy, addressing the media.
You're always so excited. I can't imagine any more excitement. But what level is it for the Super Bowl, and how are you trying to balance the team from being too excited so they can get work done?
I think our approach has always been consistent. You never want to be too high, and you never want to be too low. We're just telling our players to make sure that they're eliminating all the distractions off the field, meaning family, with the ticket business, who's coming down, who's doing what. Those are the things that take away from everything that you achieve. So we just want to make sure that they remain in focus on that. But on top of that, when they're in the building, making sure that we're focused on the assignment that lies ahead. And the assignment is to go out and win the game next weekend. We just need to go out there and play. Everybody knows what to do. They know how to do it. Now it's about being disciplined and just doing it when called upon to do so. So there is no, hey, we got to do this or do that. There is no one answer. Collectively, as a staff, and collectively as an offensive unit, we just need to make sure that everybody's on board, make sure that we're doing the little things, such as getting out of the huddle, lining up at the line of scrimmage, doing a great job of communicating at the line of scrimmage. And then when that ball is snapped, just playing from the echo of the whistle, playing from the time the ball is snapped until the echo of the whistle. And that's all you can ask. But we obviously want our guys to go out there and have a faster start. Fast. They do a great job of rushing the passer. I mean, they got some big boys up front. And I mean, that's the heart and soul of who they are. And I'm not knocking anybody on that defense because those guys, everything starts up front. It's just like on offense. We want our guys to be the heart and soul of who we are. Well, the heart and soul of that defense lies up front. Those guys do a great job of getting off the ball. On top of that, they got a couple of backers who just fly around. And then in the back end, those guys are playing very, very sound, you know, with a hell of a leader in Richard Sherman.
Coach, I want to ask you, obviously, the former NFL running back, your thoughts on their running back, mostly like what maybe, you know, you see in him that will give our defense some issues?
Well, I'm hoping he don't give us any issues, you know. I will say this. You talk about a kid who's had to persevere through a lot of adversity. Most people would have just forgotten to pursue their dream. This kid has been cut. I can't even count how many times that he's been released. But for him to go through all that and still find a way to overcome and persevere and still have that mental mindset, I can play in this game. It says a lot about the character of the man. And knowing that about that kid, I mean, the kid just has the heart of a lion. And ideally, just being a former running back coach and playing the position, you're a fan of people that you know, encompasses that attitude. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be a fan of him on Sunday. But I think the kid is just a tremendous kid. He's a tremendous person, obviously. And I know our defense is looking forward to the challenge. Last thing, he's coached by one of the original running back coaches that has put out a number of tremendous running backs in this league, such as Terrell Davis. Okay, he was a part. Coach Bobby Turner was a part of that Denver deal when all those guys were rushing for 1,000. So he's coached by a great man as well.
Eric, how about your starting lead rusher the last 2 weeks? I think there was a game or two during the regular season where he goes. What dimension does that add to your offense when the defense now have to worry about that as well?
I think it adds a lot. First of all, it tells a lot about Pat and how he sees things. You know, I know Pat recognized the coverage in which they were playing. They were doubling, Kels and 10. And the thing is, he recognized that, and they had no one on him. So he ended up taking off and running. I just told him, hey, if you're going to lead us in rushing, let's make sure we continue working on ball security with the running back coaches and get your neck roll ready because you're going to have to pound it a little bit for us.
So, Eric, let's go back to your slow, when you talk about the slow start. I mean, football's an emotional game. Mm-hmm. As you look back on it, you guys, so much has been about getting back to where you were last year, right? Now you could have come there and gone beyond. Did you think that you guys were too amped up, and what do you do to maybe guard against that now in the Super Bowl?
It could be a combination of that. These guys are excited just to be back, you know, last week to be back in that situation, wanting to go out there and do it so urgently and just be at their best. And like I always tell the guys, we have to remain poised under pressure. And what does that mean? That means, hey, this is why we practice the way we do. We practice full speed. We do everything at game speed. We're running the clock. So we want our guys to rehearse that moment over and over and over again throughout the course of the week. Now when it's time to play, we've already gone through that. But like I always tell them, I don't need you to be anything out of the ordinary. Just be who you are. Now, if we come out slow, that's okay. All right? Ideally, we want them to come out and play fast. But one thing I want them to understand is the only thing that matters, you guys have heard me say this over and over again, is the next play. So go out and play as hard as you can and as fast as you can, all right, that very next play. And we'll let the chips roll. We'll huddle up, we'll regroup, and we'll go out and do it again.
Eric, how do you avoid the distractions yourself? Who's handling all the ticket requests for you?
I have a wife who's been through this for a number of years. She knows how to say no. I have a mom who does an outstanding job of saying no or hell no. So it's been pretty easy, you know. And I'll just say this: it's a unique experience to go through, and there are a number of people who would love to be a part of this, and I would love to take everybody with us. But one thing I have to let everyone know, you know what, we do have to work. While you guys going down there to Miami, it's our job to go out there and make sure that we're managing and doing all the little things that are necessary for us to be victorious. At the end of the day, all those things will take care of itself, you know, when that game is over.
Eric, are you guys in?
You guys are working with Pat. Compare kind of this week, I mean this season, when you implement the game plan to him in the meeting compared to last year, kind of what his input is, what his reaction, what you're giving him this season compared to
last year. It's hard to say that it's really changed, because Pat is excited about every play. It's just our thought process. Every play is designed to score a touchdown. And the thing is, you know, when we're putting in these plays, we'll ask the quarterbacks exactly what they like and what they don't like. But very seldom do you hear Pat say, oh, I don't like that play. You know, he's often excited about anything that we're putting in, because he feels that he can make it work. And that's the type of mentality that you want from your player, especially at that position. And so it's been good. And I, like I said, if there's anything that's negative, I just think that he's more advanced in understanding, and not that he wasn't last year. We've just taken it to another level with him.
Eric, is this team in condition for the
heat? We should be. We've been talking about it for a number of weeks now. We've been telling our guys, making sure that they're planning to be in shape for warm weather, making sure they're hydrating, getting all the proper rest, doing all the extracurricular activities in the weight room as far as getting their cardio in or getting some extra conditioning after practice. So that's huge. And that's all about being a professional. We hold our guys to the highest standard. It's all about being accountable. So if you want us to be the best that we can be accountable, not just to yourself, but also to everyone in this building. Because if you're doing the little things, guess what? The rest will take care of itself.
How do you reflect from going to the Super Bowl as a player with the Chargers to now as a coach getting ready to go into this type of situation, you know, from this, and you're looking at it from a player's point of view versus the coach's?
Well, just making sure some of the things that we've discussed, just some of the distractions. There are a number of things that take place. And understand this, the Super Bowl is one of the world's greatest shows. And you just want your guys to understand that, hey, although it's one of the world's greatest shows that everyone is in tune to, we still have to go out there and play. So make sure that you understand the goal is not accomplished until that final whistle is blown. So before that, there's a lot of things that we need to take care of. There's a lot of things we need to take care of in the classroom. There's a lot of things that we need to take care of on the field. And there's a lot of things that the players need to take care of when they're going home and studying and implementing. So there's a lot of things that we got to make sure that we still are willing to sacrifice in order to achieve the goal that we want to achieve. I hate sounding like a broken record, but I'm going to say this anyway. My focus has been on this week. My focus has been on our players. Our focus has been on this game plan. So, unfortunately, no, I haven't heard. And I'm just zeroed in on making sure that we can win the game next week. And just a little small little tidbit here. We're calling this game, just amongst friends, the Embo Bowl. Okay? The Embo Bowl.
Embo?
Yeah. John Embry, the assistant head coach. His son works in for the San Francisco 49ers, and I have Connor with me, so it's the Embo Bowl. So, you know, I just asked Connor, who's your mom pulling for? He said, she's pulling for the other guys. I said, well, we're taking her off the list. She can't get no tickets from us. So, but. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
That's Eric Bieniemy, Chiefs OC out at Arrowhead. At the end, we just asked about job stuff again. And he did speak about the challenges of handling tickets, but basically said, hey, my wife's got all that taken care of, but on the football stuff.
And his mom, hold on, he said his mom can also say, hell no.
Makes
his
it easy.
His wife's good at saying no, his mom's good at saying, hell no.
As far as the on the field, he was asked about the slow starts for Kansas City, and we led the show today asking how important is a fast start for the Chiefs, and he says it's okay if the team comes out slow, but ideally they want them to come out fast, but if they do get off to a slow start, he just asks that his players shift their focus to the next play, approach it as fast and as hard as possible. And again, obviously, they would like the quick start. Let's go back out to Arrowhead on the defensive side of the ball. Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, remember it's down in warm weather, right? Great to be here. Excited to be involved in this game. Really happy for the guys and what they did last week to lead us to this. And just enjoying the process. We're back practicing. That's a good thing. So with that, I'll open it up.
Coach, do you feel your team is in condition for the heat? And how can you tell? Here in the cold.
I'm going to leave that up to the head coach. He's talked about it. I mean, look, Andy was talking about it even back a few weeks ago, just in case. And I don't really know that. It's hard to tell that. We'll find out when we get down there. We'll get down there early enough to get used to it. So hopefully that won't be a problem.
Steve, you've been from one really vaunted running game to another. But could you talk to us about how different it is preparing for this style of running attack?
The one thing is that San Francisco's got a bunch of guys that can put it back there and hand the ball off to. I mean, last week we were really concentrated on one number, 22. I think Kyle does a really good job with changing. Like, it appears to us that he'll look at the defense he's playing and attack with those particular runs. It may not be what we saw, what they ran against Green Bay last week or Minnesota the week before. I think he's really good at that. So we'll have to figure that out early and try to find a way to control it.
What about the speed of those running backs in particular?
Yeah, and a little bit.
What challenges that?
Yeah, the system has always been, his dad and the Alex Gibb, the whole, when I was with Gary Kubiak in Baltimore, it was very similar. And what they're really good at is getting you to run east-west and then cutting it back. And they have speed guys that can do that. One of the things we tried to do last week was try to get there before the running back got started. These guys, that's a challenge. They're really good at it. We'll have to come up with a couple of things to slow it down. But more than anything, cutback to me is huge. We talk about tracking the hip when the run goes away from you. And that's something that we've got to put in the forefront of our thinking when they run the football.
There's a lot of talk about that running game. At the same time, they've got George Kittle, Sanders. What kind of challenge does it present to you all also? That you have to be aware of those other weapons.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get to this point, the final game without having a lot of weapons. It's not just one thing. We can't be blind to the fact that we're going to put all our money, all our eggs in one basket and try to stop the run because what you said, what they have, skill out there. I mean, and that's what probably has led them to scoring all the points that they've had. Makes the run game better. We're going to have to pick our spots when we want to take a certain guy away. And more than anything, I think we got to play our defense the way we know how to play it and be as concerned about what we do as what they do.
Is there a guy you played against this year that reminds you of Kittle, or is he sort of unique in
that? I tell you what, we were really impressed at how good a run blocker he is. I mean, we know what he can do. But, there are many games we go in and say, look, our DNs, there's no way we can lose a blocking battle with a tight end. They're just teams that have tight ends that are more receivers. But this guy, he's as all around a tight end as I think we've seen this year. And I give him tremendous credit for the emphasis he puts on run blocking. And he looks like he enjoys doing it.
So you guys have been able to obviously overcome collectively a slow start.
Yeah.
Your unit, but how is the Super Bowl different? I haven't been there. I mean, I know the way it went with the Giants in the past, it's always kind of toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
But is the emotion different? Is all the hoopla mean that you in this game, you really can't afford to play from behind the way you've been fortunate enough to do the first two?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's some truth to that. Nobody wants to get behind. Certainly on defense, you'd like to be out a couple of scores or possessions because then you can call things a little bit differently. But typically in these games, as we know, and we got two good football teams, right? They're usually nipped and tucked and tight, and we're going to have to be prepared either way. I've always said this defensively, is our job never changes. It doesn't matter what the score is. And I'm probably a pain in the neck that way. We could be up by 3 touchdowns with a minute left, and I've seen crazy things happen in the game of football, so it's not over to me. And conversely, when you get behind, you got to scratch your way back. We've been able to do that. We'd like to have a fast start defensively and let our offense go to work. That would be the hope.
Coach, following up on that, obviously, you were the defensive coordinator at Knight Dolphin. Undefeated New England team in 2007.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah.
But how has your week of preparation, and do you see your front line able to attack the 49ers front line similar in the way that the Giants deal with the Patriots?
Yeah, different teams, different scheme. You know, that you know, with Tom and they had a run game and they could get the ball to Randy Moss and a bunch of other talented receivers. This one's a little bit different. You know, there's more two back. That brings a whole another realm into it. They got a really good fullback. I was with Kyle in Baltimore. He presents a headache because he's not just a fullback. They can put him anywhere. They can make him a wideout. They can make him a tight end. It's different that way. So we're with, you know, obviously trying to defend the scheme and what they do. My mind's not back on, you know, what happened years ago. I'm just hoping that we can do the fundamentals of defensive football. If you don't do that first, it's not going to matter. And I go back with our guys all the time. We can put all the defense we want on the wall. If we're not going to tackle and get off blocks and get to the football, then none of that's going to matter anyway. So that doesn't change.
And then you also talked about the penalties, obviously.
Yeah, that hurt us last week. We did. I flashed that up on Tuesday. We talked about it. We can't do that. That's hard enough to, you know, stop people when they're just grinding away than giving them free five or whatever it is. That's a good point. We can't do that.
San Francisco slowly a lot of different ways this year. You know, they throw their pass last week, you know, like for 20.
Yeah.
How hard is that to prepare that? What do you stress to counteract the change just because they did this last week?
Yeah, I think that their offensive staff and Kyle do a great job with that. They look at the team they're going to play. They attack what they think are the weaknesses. It's not just, this is the system, this is what we're going to do. That's quite obvious. And they do have a lot of different ways of winning. I mean, it helps that they got an outstanding defense. You know, defensive football, and I'm sure their special teams are good. I haven't studied that. But they just look like a complete team to me. We're only concerned with one phase of it because that's our job. And we'll try to find a way to slow it down.
Because you follow up on that, you know, every buyer, I mean, this is my week, right? The Super Bowl's different. But you get 2 weeks to buy these. In general, you talked about how the first quarter you kind of feel it out, see what they're going to do, but how much new stuff can a team come up with? You know, I mean, they're going to play them. Kittle's going to be involved.
So yeah.
I'm not going to just sit him down, but how often during a bye week do you get like, wow, we had to digest a lot there on the run?
You mean after the game's over?
Like, but since you got the extra week,
yeah.
How much can they install new stuff?
You talk about their offense.
Yeah,
I don't. It'll be a play or two here or there. I don't see them venturing too far from what they are. But I will say this: there's going to be something there that we haven't prepared against. And so again, it's going to go right back to our fundamentals. If you're in zone coverage, having zone eyes. If you're in man coverage, make sure you keep your eyes on your man. And that's the way. That's the best chance you have of defending something new, in my opinion. Because there will be. There's going to be something new there. We might have something new. You know.
So when you talk about that subject, Steve, but
give
me thoughts about Eli retiring?
Just good thoughts. Listen, I think the world of Eli. I'm happy for him. Had a tremendous career. I was blessed to be with him and shared in the ultimate moment. So I wish him all the best.
See, when you talk about the short time that Subs has been here, he's done it forever. Have you picked his brain or see how he can tell other guys just the nuances that he knows in the game?
Yeah, great question. Last week there was a moment like that. The linebacker coaches came over to me and said, wow. They said, T. Suggs was just over there talking about this particular technique that we do with our defensive ends. And he goes, he just put on a clinic. He said, everybody, all the linebackers, and nobody said anything. Just listen to him. That's what he can do. I think when you come somewhere new, you don't do that initially. So it's kind of taken a little bit, and now I think he's getting more comfortable. But he's been a tremendous addition and a real help to the players in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways.
When you talk about the fact that they will probably have a different game plan for you, so you mentioned earlier that the fact that you're going to have to see what they're doing and then make your adjustments. This group of players that you have, how good are they at seeing those types of things and helping you in that process?
I tell you, they're great, but I lean tremendously on the coaches. I mean, Matt House and Brendan Daly, who are right over there on the sideline with me, and Dave's up top, and Sam, and Britt. I mean, they're huge. in that. They both those guys, or all those guys, have been through the fire. So I really rely on them. I can't see everything. And my mind is on the next call, the next situation. And they're able to sit back and say, look, they're doing this. We might want to think about, you know, calling a couple of these. They're great that way. I would put the credit on them first, and then the players absorbing it, embracing it, and going out and executing. And we got to be good at that, and that's what this game's all about, in-game adjustments.
Last one, Steve, you've been a guy that you've increasingly trusted filling in for Hitch. What is it he's done to help you build that trust, and how do you help a young guy like that get ready for it?
Yeah, he's a pro. And Matt and Britt spend a lot. See, Ben's a special teams player. So he's got these special teams meetings that he has to be to. So, but he comes earlier to visit, to meet with the linebacker coaches, to be ahead of all that. He's a pro. He takes it serious. He's a cerebral guy. Iowa, right? That's how they build him up there. And he's a tough nut. I mean, I love him on game day. Nothing phases him. But he does a lot of roles for us. I mean, talk about special teams. I mean, he's a mic for us, and he backs up at other linebacker positions. And he's been great. Him and Hitch working together has been huge for our unit. It really has. Good. Thank you much. Appreciate it.
That's Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo addressing the media out there, and we're expected to hear from Chris Jones, Kendall Fuller, Tyron Matthew, and Destin Colquitt here in the next couple of minutes as well. A couple things there from Spags, Cody, that stood out. I also, at the end, he was talking about Terrell Suggs a little bit and how it's taken a few weeks because you don't want to be that new guy probably telling, you know, essentially yes, telling everybody what to do, but how he's been a tremendous addition. He's become a little more vocal. Using his experience has been a lot of help for this team, even if you're maybe not seen directly on the field.
Well, and how he uses his coaches for in-game adjustments. He even gave the credit to more coaches than he did to the players.
Let's go out to the Honey Badger.
You know, really, throughout this whole season, you know, we've been practicing the right way. Felt like I mentioned the other day, probably one of the toughest training camps I've been through. And even now, you know, we're still getting out there in the practice. So I think more than anything, it'd be a mindset thing for us. Can't really let the temperatures or the weather dictate, you know, how we feel on Sunday.
So Coach, Steve said that one of the things that's going to be a big challenge about this game is that the 49ers can come out with a different game plan based on the opponent. So you're going to have to be able to watch them the first couple of series and see what they're doing. How much of that falls on you as a player to be able to identify what the 49ers doing differently maybe than what you've seen on film?
Yeah, I think, you know, ultimately, you know, you try to go out there, you know, really the first 15 plays, try to get a pulse of what they like to do. I think personally, ultimately, they're going to do what they've been doing, which is, you know, they do a lot of motioning, a lot of window dressing. They move a lot of guys around. And all of that is really to get a certain leverage on you. So if we could ID certain guys in certain formations, we understand the possibilities of what could happen on any particular play.
What does George Kittle bring to you? Great question. What does George Kittle,
what
kind of challenges does he present?
Yeah, you know, when I watch him, you know, I see a team that can obviously run the ball really well, but I think he adds a different element to their offense, physicality, more so attitude, right, that he plays with. He seems like he's having a ball, you know, every ball game. So it'd be important for me, myself, you know, guys like Dan, to kind of match that energy and just compete, right? Like, you know, it's treat just like any other ball game, and whoever lines up in front of you is about, you know, beating a man, man on man.
Tyron, have you played against him before, and does he remind you of anybody at that position to play against this year?
I have not. I had an opportunity to practice against them last year for a joint practice when I was in Houston, so... but I don't believe he practiced that week, so no, I've never had a chance to play against him.
So, are you playing against him at that spot this year?
No, I mean, you know, he's an exceptional talent. They move him around. He runs routes from really all three positions. You know, so they bunch him up, they stack him up, they try to get him free releases, they put him in the backfield. He's a big part of what they do, concept-wise. It'd be important, like I said, for us to ID where he is. And if it's man-to-man, you know, compete really at the highest level against him.
We talked about last week, and just moments ago, about the physicality. And, of course, being physical with Derrick Henry and Sunday's game was very important. But what type of physicality are you hoping to impose with their run game and their receivers at Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, you know, it'd be important to, you know, obviously can't be too aggressive with some of the run schemes that they run. I think it's important to really just win your leverage, right? you know, understand where your help is. And I think in the back end, it'll be important for us to kind of fill alleys this next week, get involved in the run game. And like I said, the biggest thing, you know, ID and formations. I think they move a lot of people around. It could confuse you. It has confused a lot of people. But at the end of the day, I think final formation, it'll really tell us a lot if we read our keys the right way.
A couple more guys.
Yeah, I think the offensive coordinator, coach, head coach do a good job of, you know, making a lot of plays look the same, right? And, you know, they run a lot of different formations, out a lot of different personnel groups. I think at the end of the day, they like certain concepts. So, you know, for me, you know, it's about, you know, I've been trusting myself all year. So, you know, it's about me just believing in what I see. And, you know, I think that has really allowed me to play at a high level. Well, I think, you know, different situations, you know, require, you know, really different thought processes. You know, obviously, I think early in the game, you want to get a pulse of what they're trying to do, keep everything in front of you. And then from there, you know, it's just about playing aggressive ball, you know, understanding what they like to do and, you know, making plays on the football.
Okay, thanks, guys. We got to go, guys.
That's Tyrann Mathieu out at Arrowhead. Talking a little bit about George Kittle, obviously the importance that Kittle is going to bring to this game and the importance for you think just
you have to guard Kittle?
It might be important to keep an eye and always know where Kittle is going to be on the field. That's a good place to start, I would say, offensively.
Yeah, not that their wide receivers are bad, because Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel will obviously give you some trouble. But yeah, Kittle is a problem. And they've done such a good job running the ball and haven't had to pass, you haven't even had to notice Kittle, but he is a monster.
And the quote from Tyrann Mathieu, I think he adds a different element to their offense and physicality, but more so an attitude. Let's go back out there and Chris Jones.
You weren't sure, you know, how or if you would play that Sunday. How are you feeling coming out of Sunday?
I'm feeling better, you know, taking advantage of this week off, getting healthy, get into the playbook, studying them 49ers. Yeah.
Were you surprised at how well you played? I mean, I know you're confident, I know you have your abilities, but not having had a chance to test it, did you feel that comfortable that you would be able to make the kind of impact you did?
When Friday came, I kind of knew I was going to play. But, you know, with Rick and the training staff, I thank them guys so much. They took the precautions to make sure I was the healthiest that I could be before the game. But I knew I was going to play, and whenever I step on the field, I try to give 110% no matter how I'm feeling. And, you know, whatever pain I'm enduring during the game, I'll just make sure that I battle through it and just give it my all.
How are you emotionally after the injury happened and having to just sort of deal with it internally, missing, you know, the big game?
I mean, especially an injury at that time, you actually go through a lot. Thank God for my guys, my teammates, the D-line, you know, a guy like Frank Clark, that he's all about positive vibes, positive energy. My teammates always uplifting me. you know, just those guys uplifting me and everything, because then you get to question yourself why it happened or what could I have done better, you know, and especially in playoff games, because, you know, playoff isn't promised. And especially when you feel like you can do something to help your team to win a game, you know, it's emotionally challenging. And I was fortunate enough that the team went out there, executed against Houston, and I was able to play against the Tennessee Titans, and thank KC fans for the prayers. I think they helped. And Miss Fags, she actually made me some meatballs. And I think that's what did it. The meatballs had me feeling amazing on Friday. So
more meatballs.
Yeah, that's why I told him, man, it's tradition now. He told me, listen, that's my wife, just relax. And I told him, I'm not trying to get any fire.
Chris, can you talk about the 49ers? We were just hearing how they can disguise things, all the plays can look the same, and then suddenly it's something different. They've got something special for this defense. So when you study them, what do you see that they do?
They're very special. Both sides of the ball. I mean, they took this off season and added some huge key pieces. They added D Ford, drafted Nick Bosa kid. They got Richard Sherman on the outside. DeForest Buckner, their front seven is ruthless. Then you look at the offense, Jimmy Garoppolo, the speed that they've created around him, one of the best tight ends in the league, George Kittle. So they got a lot of weapons. They're very dynamic. Good team, great team. And, you know, with the scheme Shanahan is running over there, is very pivotal. And we got to study film, make sure we dial into whatever we can do to affect those guys.
We talked about how tough it is to sit there knowing you can't play. Now how tough is it to have 2 weeks to have to wait to play in the Super Bowl? I mean, are these days just crawling by right now?
No, this is great. You know, I was thinking about this last week, and you know, everybody was like, "Man, the bye week is not good." No, the bye week is great. You need the bye week. You know, this is week 20, week 21 of the season. You know, is long, so it's very, very fortunate we're able to get this bye week and take advantage of it and rest and get our bodies right and our mental capacity of the game right. You know, because actually later on in the season, especially for younger guys, the mental capacity, you know, it gets hard. You have to start, you know, actually forcing yourself to study more, forcing yourself to look at the playbook, because it's so late in the season that, you know, around this time you're actually done with football unless you're fortunate enough to make it to the Super Bowl.
Does the stress, you know, you guys had such a focus of getting back to where you were because you were so close last year, and I wondered, did the stress maybe, did you see it kind of on you guys? Maybe that's why you got off the slow starts. And is there a relief being here, or no? The championship game is more stressful than anything before.
No. If you actually look at how we get out to the slow start, you know, third down, I jumped off sides. Another third down, Frank Clark jumped off sides. Another third down, we got a PI. And I feel like we needed to stop beating ourselves, making key adjustments on defense, stop beating yourself, and, you know, execute the scheme of the defense. And once we start doing that, everything start working in our favor, because we're not actually depending on the offense to score 30 and 40 points. But what we are depending on, that our defense hold up to, you know, keep our offense within the game. But fortunately, we got Pat Mahomes that, you know, at any time things can take off, and Andy Reid, who is a genius at offense.
You mentioned D, and can you speak to the faith of you being in this game and him being in this game a year after things have
I actually talked to D last week before the Tennessee game, and we were just talking about how crazy it is if we get to play each other. You know, D still is a close friend of me. We still talk on basis, and very fortunate, man. D taught me a lot while he was here, and more so away from football, just about life. And I was fortunate enough to play with the guy, him and Tama, him and Justin Houston, which taught me a lot. So, you know, it'll be a great opportunity to actually get to play against him.
Chris, so with the game and then you get this extra rest, do you anticipate being able to play the full game on Super Bowl Sunday?
1,000%, man. I just truly believe in Rick and his staff, how they've been handling this. They're some of the best in the business. He's been in the business a long time, and whatever Rick tells me to do, I try to do it to my best ability. I completely trust those guys, and to make sure that they have me ready before a game.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
That's Chris Jones out at Arrowhead. Said 1,000%. He said he will be fully ready to go for the Super Bowl, trusting Rick Burkhalter, of course, and the Chiefs training staff. It's time for our national cash contest. Chance at $1,000. Cody's got your keyword.
1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word MAGICAL. Like Mahomes, right? 72881, that's magical. MAGICAL. You could be a $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. We at 610 Sports Radio, you are the only sports radio station giving you a chance at $8,000 each weekday. Just listen on the 30s. Have another chance coming up at 1:30. Just text magical to 72881. That's MAGICAL.
We'll react to what some of the guys had to say out at Arrowhead and what's trending. It's Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at CaseyLend.com. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, Cody and Gold. Well, this is the Chiefs. Come on now, getting ready for the playoffs. A few days away from heading out to Miami for Super Bowl 54. We did learn a few minutes ago that no Travis Kelce and Jordan Lucas today. Illness, the official designation for both. So I don't think any reason to be concerned by that whatsoever. Also, Chris Jones saying that 1,000% he will
not 100.
1,000% he'll be ready to roll come Super Bowl Sunday. Great news there. Although I think most people thought 2 weeks off, given the fact of how he played, even if he was 100% this past weekend, that there's no way this guy's not having an impact in playing.
We also learned meatballs were the secret to his success, which means meatballs at everyone's Super Bowl parties for the very obvious reasons.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Super Bowl party, we can get into that stuff later, but that's already should be like the little mini little Smokies, and then the mini meatballs should be requirements at a Super Bowl party. Get the toothpick. Easy to go. It's easy for everybody. Apparently, they were Steve Spagnuolo's wife's meatballs. So that Spags made a joke, I guess, to Chris Jones saying, hey, relax. That's my wife. So they were having some fun there. That was Chris Jones talking to the media.
Number two on What's Trending, Eli Manning expected to announce his retirement officially starting tomorrow. Really, the debate surrounding around him, the two-time Super Bowl winner, with a career record of 117 and 117, will be for the next 5 years. Is he a Hall of Famer? My answer is yes, he'll be voted into the Hall of Fame. Yes, you can legitimately make an argument why he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, although he is responsible for two of probably the greatest Super Bowl upsets of all time. So, look, man, you get those things done, sometimes you're just going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's getting in. 100% he's getting in. But that debate, it's funny. You're right. It's going to happen for the next 5 years, but that's been happening for the last 5 years for Eli, I feel like, because everybody saw this coming.
There's an argument why he shouldn't be a Hall of Famer. A pretty easy one. His career numbers do not stack up against others.
Rings,
but he's got
ring, rings. All about the rings. Number three on What's Trending, punishments handed out from that brawl, that melee, whatever you want to call it, in the Sunflower Showdown between Kansas and Kansas State. Silvio De Sousa, 12-game suspension. That'll take it to the very end of essentially of the Big 12 regular season. David McCormick, 2 games for Kansas. On the other side for K-State, James Love, 8-game suspension. He's still not medically cleared, so that will not start if at all this year, depending on his health status. And then Antonio Gordon, 3 games. If you're wondering, James Love was the individual that was in street clothes for K-State that initially it looked like confronted Silvio De Sousa. Obviously, nobody surprised, I think, that De Sousa got the biggest punishment here, 12 total games. Those officially coming from the Big 12 conference. Those are not from the team, even though De Sousa was suspended indefinitely earlier in the day. But
we can assume 12
knew.
Is it.
Yeah, exactly. That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, your next chance at a 4-pack of tickets to Royals Fan Fest going on at Bartle Hall this weekend on Friday and Saturday. That 4-pack is going to be for Saturday, this Saturday, the 25th, and tickets are on sale now at royals.com/fanfest. A few other things that we heard, though, from a couple Chiefs players out there before we get to Mike Florio, if we have some time to address his comments some more. But the fun stuff from Chris Jones, but I also think, you know, you look at Tyrann Mathieu talking about George Kittle, and we joked and said, yeah, obviously George Kittle is going to be a big factor. But the Chiefs team against tight ends this year did not fare all that well, necessarily. In fact, as a matter of fact, the Chiefs gave up the second most amount of receptions to tight ends this year. And they faced Mark Andrews of Baltimore early on
in
the season. And I think it was, I don't know if it was Spags there that was discussing, you know, the tight ends. It's how, you know, we hadn't seen anybody like this. And he said, we hadn't seen anybody like this, referring to Kittle. Mark Andrews would be the closest. I mean, you talk about tight ends, Kelce, Kittle, Andrews are the three best tight ends in football.
And it is a drastic drop-off after that, which means even if you're letting up catches to him doesn't necessarily mean it hurts you. The other thing, because, you know, Spagnuolo talked about it too. Spagnuolo got asked about it. Eric Bieniemy got asked about it. Mathieu got asked about it. The slow start. The whole way we started the show. Does it matter how you start? Do you have to start fast? And Spagnuolo's like, well, look, we don't want it.
Right.
We prefer to play from ahead. It's easier. We can call things different. We can be different. We can be more aggressive. And that's what's, I guess, the upper end possibility for what makes you feel better about the defense is they have been hindered a little bit about what they're able to do defensively based on not being ahead. We might see more aggression. We might see more risk taken in the intercept because they haven't been getting the ball a bunch, right? Chiefs haven't been getting turnovers a ton. They're getting stops when they need them, but they're not like piling up turnovers these last few weeks. They all got asked about it offensively and defensively. And mostly everyone's comment is, look, that's not what we're trying to do. But also we understand that that's not necessarily it. Bieniemy chopped it up to just not doing their job, which I think is a pretty strong argument. Like, look, we're dropping passes. We're missing assignments. Mathieu said, you know, or Chris Jones had said we had 2 offsides penalty and a pass interference penalty. Like, slow start is one thing. Mostly what it's about is execution. And I think particularly in the last couple of games versus, let's just say, this season where they haven't been as good in the first quarter, you can make a pretty strong argument the last couple of games that's been a lot of it. Just poor execution, not necessarily what they had in mind for how they were going to start.
Self-inflicted, right? Yes. Self-inflicted more than anything else, which is special teams can too. Certainly be a problem, right? The Super Bowl, if you can't have those kind of mistakes, but at the same time, you remember and say, okay, you cleaned some of that stuff up and you still feel good. It's not as if the teams they were facing were flat out shutting them down for the first quarter all alone. It was penalties, it was turnovers, it was just mistakes, drop balls, everything like that. And you're right, Eric Bieniemy even said, yeah, it's okay if the team comes out slow, but just the making sure everybody is focused in. And in fact, specifically said that they shift their focus to the next play and kind of just move on from it and get back on that horse, which they obviously have been able to.
And obviously, Spagnuolo talked about that with some of his in-game adjustments and gave a lot of credit to his coaching staff because he got straight up asked, like, how much do the players you have available to you make a big difference in the in-game adjustments? He's like, they matter. They help. But I give credit to the coaches first because I need those guys to be my eyes. All I can do is worry about one play, the next play. It's 3rd and 6. I got to worry about how to stop that play. Some of the other coaches on the staff can worry about the larger picture. Look, they keep doing this. This thing continues to happen. We keep seeing this. Let's make an adjustment to that. They've done an excellent job all postseason. And now I get that's 2 games. They did an excellent job postseason. That's it. That's all
that's
they had
what
in front
it
of.
Is.
They've done an excellent job all postseason making an adjustment. The defense has played better in the second half. The offense has played better in the second half. So as an entire system, we talked about like Mahomes and Matthew and getting those stops and Chris Jones on 3rd down, but their in-game adjustments have far exceeded their opponents to this rate. 49ers are pretty good at that. Like that East-West run game style, Spagnuolo's like, look, man, we can't sell out, put our eggs in all one basket for the run. They're going to have their hands more full with the 49ers than they have in a while. Based on that, I think it's going to have to be punch to counter punch quite a bit in this game. You can't just make that one halftime adjustment and it solves some problems. You're going to need several things going your direction early.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, a couple people saying, how are you not mentioning, we were talking about the tight ends in George Kittle, how are you not mentioning Darren Waller in that
Waller
group?
Did have a great year.
Yeah, but still, he had a great year, but I don't put him in that group of a Kittle, an Andrews, and a Kelsey.
A fantasy guy.
I don't put him in that same group. I'm not saying he's
a little bit older, so it doesn't feel like he's been
what
doing
is he
it
27
as
or 26.
I mean, I would be thrilled to have Darren Waller on my fantasy team, but yes, he's not, and he's a very athletic pass catcher, and he is a little older. He's not as old as Kelsey, but obviously he's been around the league and this was his first breakout season, but he's not in the same category. No, it's Kittle and Kelsey are the only two I would put in a tier by themselves. Everybody else, Mark Andrews, Zach
Ertz.
He's
at the top of the second tier.
Yeah, Zach Ertz is still really good, but he's kind of fallen out of the category of those two.
In his own, on his own team, he wasn't at times the number one, right? Goddard kind of took over a lot of that this year. Still, though, but I mean, like, Zach Ertz, you know, sort of from the fantasy angle, like, Zach Ertz was not, or especially for majority of the season, Goddard was getting more of the looks, wasn't it? Or not, I shouldn't say the looks, but the production.
Well, not more, but Goddard was certainly involved. Ertz was still there, had the most receiving yards on their team this season. Like, he was banged up a lot this year.
Because I'll tell you this, it was disappointing for my fantasy team. I'll tell you that about Zach Ertz. Awful the first 6 weeks or so for me. Didn't help me out enough whatsoever when it comes to that.
I couldn't even tell you any of the guys I was starting at that position now. So bad. No, I just think that those two are the best two, and it's pretty clear, which means the difference between the two is pretty significant.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, we'll get into what Mike Florio had to say about the 49ers' approach toward Patrick Mahomes and a chance at a 4-pack of tickets to FanFest.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.